Every time that you and I exercise that practical sanctification, we're laying up treasures in heaven. The second way to be rich toward God is to be sanctified practically every day. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn a few places here. Ephesians 5. All be pretty familiar verses tonight. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus is talking about the church and likening it to a husband and wife's relationship as it parallels Jesus' relationship to the church. Ephesians chapter 5, and the Bible says this, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that's the church, with the washing of water by the word. Amen. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If you'll understand and see that with me tonight, he didn't say the church was going to be sanctified by the washing of blood. You get washed in the blood of Jesus to get in the church. Then the church needs to be washed on a regular basis, just like your body needs to be washed on a regular basis. And the way that happens is we have a shower Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, amen. And we get washed by the water of the Word, and it sanctifies and it cleanses us, that we might be before Jesus not having spot or wrinkle or any blemish, but that we would be holy, verse 27. And I believe when we allow that to happen in our lives as believers, we're laying up treasures in heaven. Enduring those temptations, abstaining from those fleshly lusts. John 17:17, Jesus prayed for his Father to sanctify us through his truth, and he said, thy word is truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. All right, that is just as black and white as God could put it. It is his will, it is his desire, it is his longing for his people to abstain from fornication and to be sanctified. And he says, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's your body. That's my body. Know how to possess his vessel in sanctification. There it is again. And honor. And of course, he's going to go down through there and talk about fornication and things like that. And he goes, verse 7, he says, but God hath not called us unto uncleanness. Boy, that's a good verse for the modern churches today. God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And he says in place all through the Bible, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay, and I know you know all that. But tomorrow when you get up, tonight when you go to bed, tomorrow when you're going through the day, if you could just remember, you know what? That temptation to sin, I'm going to say no to that thing because Jesus wants me to be sanctified and he wants me to be holy. And when you say no to that and you forsake that sin and you say, I'm not going to give in to that temptation, you just laid up treasure in heaven. Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, Jesus told the church at Smyrna that they might have been poor physically, but they were rich spiritually. And James 1 reminds us that if we'll endure that temptation, that there'll be some riches laid up. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says this, 2 Timothy 2:20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what's that? The dishonor. He should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You say, preacher, I don't know why should I be sanctified? What's the point in that? What good does it do? Well, if we're not clean, God can't use us. And he goes on to say, 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. And so may the Lord help us to purge ourselves from dishonorable things, that our vessels, our body, as we are supposed to know how to possess them, 1 Thessalonians 4, that now our vessels would be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And every time that we are able to do that, we're laying up treasure in heaven. Laying up treasure in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just trying to be practical with this thing. Sometimes we psych ourselves out. Sometimes we just convince ourselves it's too hard. I can't do that. What is a riches in heaven? I keep saying that wrong. That's bad English. And I'm just trying to give you some practical ideas on how to be rich toward God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You understand in Smyrna, and this is true for you and I in a lot of ways, but in Smyrna, they didn't get to fully realize how rich they were in God until they got out of this world and present with Him. And much the same will be true about you and I. The judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal a lot of things. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know the verses, verse 9, the Bible says we're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation. Now tonight, if you're born again, the foundation in your life is Jesus Christ. He's the rock, amen? And we're to build our lives upon the rock. And the Bible says, if any man build upon this foundation, verse 12, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You got six building materials to choose from. Three of them are valuable. The other three are useless. And he goes on to say, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, let me ask you this question. Just think about this with me for a second. How much gold, silver, and precious stone did you lay up today versus how much wood, hay, stubble? Because you know, everything you and I did today is going to pass through the fire at the judgment seat. Every word we said today is going to pass through the judgment. Every thought we had is going to pass through the judgment seat. So I wonder, did you and I come out on the net positive, or was it a net loss today? When Jesus looks at our life today, the hours that we've spent alive today, what's it going to yield? And I think if we'd think like that every day, we might come out to the better one day. But we get so used to just living our lives, we don't think about everything that you and I do right now has got an eternal implication. Every hour that you and I spend, every word we say, every deed we do, it's going to yield one of those six things. So the third way to lay up treasures in heaven and be rich toward God is to do the right sort of work. And I believe that's a work that's done out of love for Jesus Christ. You know, so much in the ministry, I learned this years ago, and unfortunately it was to my own rebuke and to my own shortcoming. It's so easy in the ministry to do things, especially in a church like Spring City. It's so easy to go through the motions and just do things. It's what we've always done. I believe that's what Jesus was rebuking the church at Ephesus about, because they had left their first love. And guys, I'm telling you, the works that we do, just going through the motions, the works that we do here, not having a heart for Jesus, not having love in our heart for Jesus, just doing it because we're expected to do it, or just doing it because we want to save face, or maybe there's even some sort of selfish reason behind it that we do the things that we do for God in this church. All of those things, even though they're seemingly good works, if they're not done with the right heart, they're just going to burn up at the judgment seat. And it's not just a matter of checking, am I doing the right work? It's, am I doing it for the right reason? Am I doing it with the right heart? Why do I want to go hold a sign on the street corner tomorrow? It's going to be sunny in 63. No, right? Why do I put the check in the missions offering every Sunday night? Why do I come to church? Why? You understand? There's so much of this Christian life that can just be robotic and mechanical and have no heart in it. And it looks right to everybody else. And sometimes we even deceive ourselves and think, well, I did that. I must be right with God. Well, the Lord's had to knock on my heart's door a couple of times and say, why did you do that? And I would give him some spiritual answer and he would laugh. And he would say, let me show you why you really did that. And boy, that's heart-wrenching when the Lord shows you those things. But I'm glad he shows us. Because I want to get my heart right. I want to do it for the right reason. I want the sort of work that I do to be beneficial to God one day. And so the sort of work done by love, done out of charity, is what will help us to be rich toward God. Smyrna's work was done in love, despite tribulation and poverty. And I do. I believe Spring City Baptist Church, I believe everybody in this room, to some extent, you've laid up treasure in heaven. If you're saved, you've at least done that. Amen. Probably everybody here has resisted some sin at some point in your life. Praise the Lord. There's a treasure. And I know many of you, you do the things that you do in this church because you love Jesus Christ. Really, you wouldn't keep doing it around here if you didn't. But I just want to remind us tonight, in the world we live in, the things of God are not counted very highly. In the world we live in, the things that God values many times are despised by men. And Jesus looked at that church in Smyrna and he said, I know you're poor. I know they're making life miserable for you down there. But he said, if you'll be faithful to death, he said, I'll give you a crown of life. And he said, I know you're poor. Jesus said, but in my eyes, boy, you're rich. And I might be wrong about this. If I am, it's okay. When we all get to the judgment seat of Christ, you can turn to me and say, Pastor, you were wrong about that. Okay. But in Revelation 1, when you get the description of Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about his eyes. Does anybody remember what they're described as? A flame of fire. I just think that as Jesus looks across the works of our life since we were saved, and his eyes, those flame of fire, is going to burn those works. And the works that come forth as gold, silver, precious stones will be riches. And the ones that are burned up, they'll be lost forever. But when he tells that church at Smyrna, the way I see you is you're rich. And that had to be encouraging to them. Had to be encouraging to them. And so church tonight, let's make sure every day, we're laying up treasure in heaven. Okay? You may get a paycheck Friday. Praise the Lord for it. If you worked hard, you earned it, and the Lord gave you the ability to get the wealth. Praise the Lord. But it'd be better this week if each day we'd lay up some treasure in heaven. It'd be more valuable than getting that paycheck. And I know you got to have that paycheck. Eggs are expensive. I understand that. Okay. But the Lord's just trying to get our focus on the right things. So I trust it's helped tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you.